Welcome to the Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast, your best podcast spot for all things Cleveland Guardians baseball. Presented by WaitingForNextYear.com. Follow Matt on Twitter at Dairy Speaks and Todd at TD Guardians KU. The Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast is on the air.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody, from the basement of Todd Dairy. Here in Cleveland, Ohio, it is the Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast for WaitingForNextYear.com and the Evergreen Podcast Network. Matt and Todd with you. It is a holiday weekend and a holiday edition of an off-season edition of the Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast. Thanks for hosting.
I thought you were going to say the palatial estate. I thought you were going to give me that one. Yeah.
Bring that down a little bit. You're hot. Go. Oh, you're good.
I was coming in hot.
Listen, coming at 9:40 on Friday.
That's
coming
right.
In hot.
216-578. Yeah. I like to rap into the microphone. That's so I'm normally used to having it in front of my mouth like this, but I'll keep it lower.
No, you're good.
I'm not used to this having you sitting right next to me on the couch.
It's a live edition. It feels like a live version. It's not live, but
it's very exciting.
We're sitting here together, and we are. But
where if the only the executive producer would wake up. No, we had our pre-show meeting last night.
He's very cranky because he was like, "Where's the pitching pod? Where's the pitching pod?"
You've been
very busy. I've been very busy, but here we are on a beautiful Ohio State Michigan Saturday morning. The sun is shining.
Yeah,
and we could talk some Guardians baseball.
I was gonna say last night the executive producer. It's a big day for him being number one Michigan fan in this city, and. Yeah, he has been doing his job by pressuring us into doing more episodes.
Oh my gosh!
So I give him credit for that. But
it's nonstop.
But the text chain's been off the hook. But here we are. I'm looking at you and your Lawrence Moton T-shirt.
You got me this shirt.
I did, and I'm wearing KU basketball shorts. We're in college basketball season right now, but we're here for you to do some. Guardians baseball hot stove league action. Hey,
maybe every week I should just drive in here because this is very easy to set up. Got the backup equipment going. It sounds clean as opposed to you on the phone or
I know.
Whatever it is.
I'm going to buy a microphone for a better microphone situation for next season. I promise everyone I will. The problem is I'm always moving around and I'm doing stuff. So it's fine. We'll make it better. We still are in my opinion, the number one Guardians podcast in this city.
You could make arguments for others, and there's others
absolutely.
That are friends of the show. But we try to entertain as well as talk some baseball. With how about yesterday? I was filling in on 92.3, and that Sam guy calls in and he's like, "Let's talk Nolan Jones." And
that was
and
very
Rito.
Exciting.
I'm like, "Sure, let's go."
I believe your line was. Program director Andy Roth is going to kill me for this probably, but and then you did a 15-minute
we broke down the Nolan Jones move, which we can do today
I was going to say, I think the last time we potted, he was still a member of the squad, if memory serves me.
Oh, yeah. No, he is. And now that he'll be on the Colorado Rockies next year getting regular at-bats, maybe a Team D's will draft him.
Now we're talking NL only. And you know what? The thing is, you can slide in. These guys won't even know. And Nolan's here.
He's going to play.
I'll give Nolan Jones this. I think that the injuries, two things derailed him. Number one, his injuries throughout his minor league career totally derailed him. That was, set him back probably a year.
Oh, yeah.
And then by the time he got healthy, lots of other guys jumped him, and you saw the emergence of Will Brennan. You saw the emergence of Will Benson. You saw Oscar Gonzalez and Josh Naylor, basically taking a grip on that first base job. I know you talked about this yesterday on 92.3. I heard you mention they were going to try Nolan Jones at first base more in Columbus, and I don't know why that never really happened. They played Benson at first base a few times.
Very early on. Well, when he was in Columbus at the end, before he came up, he played a bunch of first base.
And then they were having Gabriel Arias playing first base, and then here we are, we look up, and it's October, and Arias was playing first base that whole Yankee series for the most part. Did he start the last four games? I know he started the last three.
Yeah, it seems like months ago.
I know. Crazy, right? But I feel bad for Nolan Jones because I do think that he's got a future. And I think going to that high altitude in Colorado and hopefully getting a chance to play every day for him, that'll work. Because I think he worked his ass off. Oh, the other thing I didn't even say, point two, which was the plan for him was always third baseman of the future. Jose Ramirez was going to be a free agent, and they would either let him, you know, trade him or let him walk. But when Jose signed long term, that ended Nolan Jones's path to third base, and so he had to become a corner outfielder. And I thought when he came up and swung the bat well, and he kind of we looked at him, you and I and the executive producer talked about it. He had that Lonnie Chisenhall.
He looked great.
Look and feel to him.
He looked great right out of the chute at Fenway too. He had a home run, and it's like, this is our guy. And unfortunately, Oscar Gonzalez came back from the. I think that wasn't Nolan up because Oscar got hurt.
He was on the.
They made the right choice. It's pretty obvious.
You know, it's so funny that Oscar Gonzalez had that oblique. Was an oblique injury? Is that what it was? I think he was out for like 6 weeks. Doesn't it seem like a total blur that he wasn't playing? Like that part of the season?
Yes.
It's crazy because now, you know, we have a Breaking Tea t-shirt and because he's the big hero. And he's the right fielder of the future, at least for right now. So, but I hesitate to get – listen, I think Oscar's great. I love him. I bought the t-shirt. But I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves because we have seen this a lot. Oscar Mercado, you remember how great he was when he was a rookie? And we were like, oh, we found our center fielder
for the next 10 years.
Yeah, and pretty quickly he fell off the table. I'm not saying that's going to happen with Oscar. Gonzalez, that is. We're talking dueling Oscars here. But, you know, that's why, and we've talked about this in free agency. We've talked about it on the pod and just in person and on text. But you just can't count. Are we banking on the fact that all of these guys are going to be great again next year? That's why there's got to be another veteran bat added.
Yeah, we can get into that. We should. And also, we got to talk a little pitching. The last time we were on a couple of weeks ago, we did do a lot of discussion about future bats and what the team should do and corner outfield. It's very interesting in Major League Baseball. The owners want nothing to do with free agency.
It's so bizarre.
Like, free agency's here. Like, it's already started. Like, in any other league, NBA, it's like a free-for-all. NFL, it's a free-for-all.
That first day of that, is it a tampering? Well, they used to have the legal tampering period. Like, you're right. NBA and football, the thing drops, and it's like midnight of that night. You wake up the next morning, your Twitter feed is all so-and-so signs with this team, so-and-so signs with this team. But baseball, you're right, it's dead.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. It's like Aaron Judge is going to, or has visited San Francisco.
But that's
like
it.
The biggest story. Carlos Santana yesterday signed with the Pirates.
How about that? The Bucko, $6.7 million to
Carlos? He just won't die. He just won't go away.
God bless him. God bless him. He loves the Midwest.
I guess they also think, the Pirates are probably thinking, if he hits early in the year, because the shift is gone, and all those outs, all those line outs into the short right field to the second baseman will be gone, will be singles next year.
Yeah.
And then they could trade him.
Yeah, and that's he does pull about as much as anybody, and you know, they play the Ronnie Belliard, you know, short right field out against him every time he's up, and I think that you're right about that. The shift banning for next year is going to actually help him a lot, and good for Carlos. I mean, 2 years ago when he signed with Kansas City, you and I talked about this, and we were like, I thought he wasn't going to get a major league deal, and so he gave him $14.5 million for 2 years. He was decently productive when the Royals traded him to Seattle, and my guess is, like you said, the Pirates will use him for half of the season, and at the deadline, you know, probably move on from him and trade him to a contending team that'll use him, you know, as a switch hitting first baseman / DH.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I mean, there's a lot on the table right now. There's a lot of chatter, certainly in free agency circles. Jose Abreu, you know, the Padres are interested. The Cubs are interested. That would be we've already talked about this, somebody that maybe would be a fit for the Guardians to be that first baseman, right-handed first baseman, to kind of platoon with Naylor. You know, that's what when the caller called in yesterday. He's like, why would Nolan Jones just play first base and then he would play when Naylor doesn't play? But Nolan Jones, a left-handed bat.
Another left-handed bat.
There's got to be another right-handed bat added somehow. But we are also brought to you by our friends at the Center for Advanced Dentistry. A happy Thanksgiving from Dr. Ben Hornstein.
And Dr. Sean. I'll be there Thursday morning getting my teeth cleaned.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
And BreakingTea.com/Derry, D-E-R-Y. Get your T-shirts. There is a new Nick Chubb shirt out there. That's the one guy really remaining from the Browns that's actually showing up this year. Did you know that there was an Eli Morgan shirt made?
No.
It's on the site. Yeah.
Does it say the Eliminator? Are you sure?
It says Dr. Change.
Let me see this.
I swear to God.
Hold on. I can't believe Eli Morgan, Dr. They didn't even tell us. We could have been promoting this.
They slid that in.
Oh, it's right under the changeup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But get your gear at BreakingT.com/dairy. All right, so next year we're talking. Bieber's going to be back. Was it Chris Antonetti was on like the Jim Bowden radio
MLB
show
Network
on Sirius XM. And, you know, Bowden is kind of, he's kind of a slappy, you know.
I was going to say buffoon. You say slappy. You know, they mean
like,
the same thing.
Hey, are you going to trade Shane Bieber? You know, which and it was like, no, he'll be on the team. Like that, that, which I thought was a good answer because a lot of times Antonetti or Chernoff, when they're on these shows, or play it very close to the vest.
Yeah.
But they were like, no, he's going to be on the team. So
it's good to hear that, though. You're right, because, you know, the Guardians are known for, we'll listen to any offer for any player. It doesn't mean we're going to do it, but.
Right. But so you got Shane Bieber. You obviously have Tristan McKenzie. And then you've got Cal Quantrill. Well, then everybody wants to know, what are they going to do? What are they going to do with the 4 and 5 spots? Are they going to make a trade? You know, Mandy Bell wrote the other day, I got my little newsletter in my email.
And I get those, too.
And Mandy Bell wrote that, it was like, you know, possible trade chip, Zach Plesac. When the beat writer for MLB.com for the Guardians, or for any team, is writing that a player might be traded, or would they clear all that with the team. You know they do.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
I would think so.
I mean, they're getting their information from someone inside that.
But she works for MLB.com. They wouldn't put a trade rumor out there if somebody from the team didn't say, that's fine, as opposed to, don't put that out there. You know, no. Meisel doesn't have to do that for The Athletic. He doesn't work for the team. Paul Hoynes doesn't have to do that for Cleveland.com. He doesn't work for the team. I think Mandy, and when you work for MLB, I don't know if she's in a Guardians employee, but I found that interesting, and I truly believe that I think they will deal Plesac.
Here's a question for you. What are they going to? What can they get for him? Do you think that he has any value other than fringe prospect stuff?
You're talking about an under team control young starting pitcher that has had some success. Now, again, he's
some, and it's been a couple years.
He hasn't been great lately. I think they could get something. I think they could get something back for him. People are always looking for pitching.
Also true. They're always looking, and you know, I remember having the same conversation with the executive producer and you about the value of Savali, which is another similar conversation.
But what if you packaged Zach Plesac with Tyler Freeman?
Well, that's a different story there because, and I know we've talked about this ad nauseum, but they have to do something about that logjam of middle infielders. And I think packaging Plesac into a deal, a major league arm you can throw right into that rotation, is important. And that's a nice, you know, if a team is really, you know, let's say who's like a. I'd say the Twins, but it's not. But they're in our division, so that's not really a good example. Let's go with the Baltimore, for example.
Okay.
All right. Baltimore's like, okay, we got all these nice young position players that are coming up. You know, we got this Gunnar Henderson, not Gunnar the trainer.
that's inside.
And Adley Rutschman, and you know all these other
Orioles,
players.
The Orioles
but they
could
need
trade.
Pitching.
The Orioles could trade Cedric Mullins.
Yeah, and Cedric Mullins, you know, he's
not coming to us.
No, but I'm saying, like, as an example, they want to move on from someone, or maybe, you know, whatever it is, they need an arm.
That's the package. It's Plesac and Freeman for Cedric Mullins.
But a team that's looking for an innings eater at the back end of the rotation, you know, listen, I mean, I know Plesac likes to throw too many pitches sometimes, but he can give you 6. I mean, he's making 30 starts a year when he's not punching the ground and breaking his hand.
Right.
So, I mean,
out partying with Mike Clevenger.
Who, by the way, is also free agent, and I read today that the White Sox are very interested in.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Would you bring back a Clevenger back of the rotation?
Here?
Yeah.
No, he's always hurt.
No way.
I love him, but he's always hurt.
All right, what about
always?
What about Corey Kluber as your fifth starter next year?
Oh God!
Yes,
I think I could see that. Yeah, you might as well just bring Brantley. You might as well just bring Brantley and Kluber back.
Let's get Brandon Guyer back too while we're at it, and Rajay. Bring the band back together. I heard Kipnis is available. Kipnis, by the way, did a nice job in the booth that. He did like 1 or 2 games.
Yeah, he was all right. He did all right.
He was pretty good.
I saw he and Lonnie Chisenhall were together at some sporting event.
Yes, and it was some team that, basketball.
Kipnis
went to high school at Shire. That's what it was.
They went to the Duke basketball game.
It was in Indy. It was when Kansas beat them. That's where they were. Good to see Lonnie out there. Wonder how the great Meredith Chisenhall is doing.
She was great on Twitter. A lot of fun. Very interactive. Very supportive of the organization.
Yeah.
Yeah. Popped out a few kids with Lonnie and was always a good Tribe fan as a wife. Like, I was always open to, like, hey, we're in Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Come see us at the ballpark. So that's pretty funny. But, yeah, I mean, Corey Kluber. I honestly think next year's rotation will be the following. I think it'll be Bieber. I think it'll be McKenzie, Quantrill, Cody Morris, and Savali. I do.
I think Cody Morris.
I think Aaron Savali is beloved by this manager, and I think they're going to give him every opportunity for one last go around as the fifth guy. But you're going to have a sixth or seventh guy because Savali is injury prone.
Well, this is why I am thinking that they're going to. I think they're going to trade Savali and Plesac, actually, and I think they're going to. Here's what I would do. I would trade them both and try to go out and get a veteran innings eater at the back end of the rotation. And I'd like Cody Morris in the four spot. Cody Morris looked great in October.
Yeah.
If he hadn't gotten hurt last spring, he's the guy who's at the back end of that rotation when Plesac and Savali were hurt early in the year. I mean, you remember they used Xavion Curry, who was not ready yet, Hunter Gaddis, who was clearly not ready.
That poor kid.
I was at both of his starts, and he was so bad, and I felt terrible for him.
I mean, maybe you never know. Maybe next year he'll be better when they need him, but not in April.
But my point is, they didn't have they had decent depth last year, but the depth of this rotation is still guys that are probably another year away. So, you know, Gavin Williams is not. I wouldn't expect to see Gavin Williams next year. Wouldn't expect to see Tanner Bibee next year. Obviously. Maybe Logan, the other Logan Allen, the good Logan Allen. Didn't try him. But these guys, here, get ready to drink. These guys aren't on the 40-man, though.
Oh.
And as we know, that's a tight situation there, that 40-man. I mean, they traded Carlos Vargas. I don't know if we had this conversation on the last one or not, but I always thought Carlos Vargas had a great future as the power arm in the back end of the bullpen. And they dealt him before they had to make their final 40-man roster for another reliever, another young reliever, and I can't remember the guy's name, but I'll say this: the organization knows what they're doing.
Yes,
because we talked about. I remember this time last year, we were like, "How could they not get? How could they DFA Francisco Perez?
Yes,
left-hander. I remember thinking
he was lighting it up all year in the minors. They brought him up at the end.
Striking out a million guys.
And it's like, this is a future, and then he was gone. Same thing with Vargas now.
Yeah, so they know something, obviously. They know stuff that we don't. They're in there every day. And the way the pitching factory has gone and the way they've unearthed other arms, I mean, you got to believe that they know what they're doing. Look at De Los Santos last year. Right? Cleans them off waivers.
He was
DLS,
great.
That's my boy.
Yeah, he's a fixture in the pen.
Yeah, and they just, every year, they always find something like that. So,
what was it like to be there for historical sports moments and unforgettable performances? To be behind the scenes? On Pressbox Access, you'll hear from me, Todd Jones, and other sports writers about their experiences with the greatest athletes, coaches, and sports events of the past half century. We'll share some stories behind the stories, some big, some small, and some we've only told each other. Let us buy you a round on Pressbox Access.
The rotation thing, though, I would sign a veteran. I wouldn't be shocked if it's Cody Morris and Corey Kluber 4 or 5 next year. And then you have a loaded AA and AAA. You know, they added Joey Cantillo to the 40-man right before. That's another left-handed option. But again, I think these guys are all, like, not there yet. If it were 2024, I think you're going to be loaded with guys. And like you said, to your point, when Antonetti said, I like that Shane Bieber staying here, they know this window's there, and your best team is with Shane Bieber on it.
Yeah.
And they have club control for him for three more years. So, you know, I'd be riding it out as long as they're contending, because especially now, you got to capitalize on what they did last year. You got to.
No, you have to. Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast, we're recording here in Cleveland on a beautiful Saturday morning, talking a little pitching. Where are you on? All right, so, like, you look at, let's say, you go to some of these lists and you go, all right, top free agent pitchers. All right, Cleveland isn't signing Justin Verlander.
Or Carlos Rodon.
All right. Yeah. Right. Or somebody like that. It's just, it's not happening. Yes, I think the payroll will rise. I think the money would go to a bat before an arm. That's just how they've always done it.
I couldn't agree more.
But let's say you get to February or early March, and some of these guys are still out there because, quite honestly, some of these owners have decided we're not going to spend. And it's a baseball problem. A guy like Sean Manaea, a lefty, a veteran, but this would be after you traded Savali and Plesac. That would be kind of a fix.
I like that.
Do I think that's happening? No. But I'm just saying, like, that would be a veteran-type free agent arm that maybe the pitching factory would go, we bring this guy in on a one-year deal with a club option for a second
right,
year.
Right, a little one-year prove-it
that would
deal.
Be a name yeah. that would fit. But again, I don't know if that's realistic.
You know what? It really kind of all depends on what they do with the bat. I mean, if all of a sudden they shock the world and give Jose Abreu 2 years and $40 million and he signs here, then I think you're sticking with the in-house guys. But if that doesn't happen, I like that Sean Manaea call. He is only 30. He's 31. He's had some decent success. I believe he threw a no-hitter, right? Didn't he throw a no-hitter with the A's?
A couple of years
ago. He was
ago.
On the pod.
Yeah.
I got a couple other names for you. By the way, did you know that Clevinger is 32?
No.
He always strikes me as being younger than that. He's 32 already. Kluber's 37. Here's a couple other names for you. Taijuan Walker. What do you think of him?
Not realistic, but I like him.
I think he might have, the Mets did not give him the qualifying offer. Ross Stripling. 33.
I like him better than he has some. Now he's got some time in the American League. I would never have signed him coming out of the LA when he was with the Dodgers, but he's okay.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad.
I think a lefty would be good.
All right, so I'm looking at lefties. Andrew Heaney, that guy blows. I want no part of him. Mike Minor, too old. Not good. Here's one for you. There's two for you. Two of your ex favorites. Drew Smyly at age 33 has resurrected his career in the National League.
Yeah, no, he wasn't bad with the Cubs.
I think he was on the Braves, too. Am I correct on that?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. You're Mr. NL only. You should know this. What about Matthew Boyd?
No, that's a no.
I know. Here, this is a great one.
Yeah.
Ryan Yarbrough, Tampa Bay. Guy destroyed us for years.
Yeah, he's a bit of a ham and egger.
You love that term.
Really, he's all right. I mean, I think Manaea is really, I think he's underrated. And I think that, again, yeah. I think that based on the fact that, you know, you're seeing very minimal action right now in free agency means, again, that I think a lot of these Major League Baseball teams still believe that the system is broken. I mean, I'm just surprised that, like, where are the Yankees with Aaron Judge? Like, this is a stupid discussion, and it's a Guardians podcast, but why isn't he still on the – why haven't the Yankees presented him with a killer offer?
Maybe they
have.
The guy
hit 62 home runs. How do you let him walk?
I don't know. Maybe they have, and he is, you know, dicking him around because he feels like they didn't give me what I wanted last year. I bet on myself. I'm awesome. And now they're really going to pay. And I'm, you know, I don't know who his agent is, but maybe they're out there purposely trying to drive that price up.
That's crazy to me that wouldn't be something that would be done already.
Yeah. I mean, you would think with the unlimited pockets, they would say, you tell us what you want and we'll make it happen.
Right.
But who knows?
I mean, talk about a season for the ages. You know, the guy did it all. All right, so, you know, it's funny you mentioned innings eater. One of our listeners, the great Matt Maraconda, he was always big on, if you call somebody an innings eater, that means they suck, but they at least give you five or six.
That's true. You know, I remember when the Indians years ago, they got him for like 2 months and then they cut him. Jason Johnson, innings eater.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He lasted like a month and then they got rid of him. That was like 97 or 96.
I would also venture to say, although he didn't suck, I would also venture to say that the ice cream man, Dave Burba, he was an innings eater.
Yeah, but he was good.
But then there were times he had to be like our number one starter back
then.
He's at fantasy camp. I saw on that list.
Oh, can we talk about that for a minute? I'm not going to out the person who told me this, but we got the fantasy camp coach list, which was great. Loved it. There were so many good guys on there.
Is that an exclusive? Guardians Cast? Dairy Brothers exclusive?
I have not seen this reported anywhere else, but invited to the camp. Omar Vizquel was on the list. Because Carlos Baerga, who's Mr., you know, Mr. Cleveland Baseball.
Yeah, he's everywhere.
He's still Omar's best friend. And he pushed, from what my sources tell me, he pushed real hard to get Omar there. But are they really putting Omar?
I could make some bad jokes that you just you made the comment, pushed real hard. I could make some really bad jokes about that with Omar Vizquel, but I won't. It's a family show.
I was just going to say, women of, where are they again? Goodyear, Arizona. Lock up your daughters, kids.
For those of you that do not
Omar's
know,
coming to town.
For those of you that do not know, Omar Vizquel has been not charged. I think he was accused.
Accused.
He's been accused of, you know, assault and battery on his ex-wife and all sorts of stuff. So not good. And he's basically been banished from baseball. I mean, no teams have hired him.
No, and he was managing. There were two huge stories about him. There was one written in The Athletic basically talking about, you know, all the stalking and the harassment and the violence.
With his ex-wife.
With his ex-wife. And then there was this other story that the Tigers, I believe he was a double-A manager of the Tigers.
I think he was the third base coach, wasn't he?
He was with the major league club at one point. But it was either the White Sox or the Tigers. I can't remember.
I think he was with the White Sox. He was a manager in the minors.
Okay, so he's a double-A manager of the White Sox, and a player went to management complaining about him. I don't remember if it was physically assaulting him or verbally assault, whatever it was a real bad look, and the team completely swiped it under the rug and basically relieved him of his duties and hoped that the story would go away, but then the player went public with it. If you Google the story, you'll find it. But they're really bringing Omar back to fantasy camp. I am surprised with the organization, who is so smart when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Very savvy, yeah.
Yeah, to having Omar hang around, but who knows?
I mean, obviously tribe legend.
Of course.
But lots of issues with him.
Never meet your heroes. That's what they say, right? So, I don't know. getting back...
Mr. Hero.
Yeah, getting back to the pitching situation, this was a thought I had before we started talking about this. Gavin Williams changed agents this week. Number one draft pick of the Guardians 2 years ago, rapidly rising in the system. He's an arm that's going to be in the rotation in the relative near future. Changed agents and is now with the Boris Corporation. So, essentially, the Guardians have him for six or 7 years of club control. That's all you're getting at the maximum. So I don't know if that means anything. I saw some people on Twitter, our buddy Jeff Ellis and Justin Lattice, saying stuff about, you know, people asking them, well, does this mean he's going to be more of a trade chip because of the Boris thing, knowing that the Guardians will never be able to sign any Boris clients. But I think the Guardians are so smart. They are going to lean on these starting pitchers while they have them under team control. Bieber is an extenuating circumstance, but for the most part, when was the last time they extended a pitcher other than the Corey Kluber thing, when they got him, turned him around, and he was still young and peaking, and Kluber took less money to stay here?
But I think that's the hope, is that David Blitzer, all these guys are all the same. David Blitzer is going to eventually say, I want to put my stamp on this, even if I'm the minority owner,
right,
and do something and be an oppressor. Paul Dolan, who likes to be in the background and is usually pretty quiet and pretty subdued, was there when Jose Ramirez signed this year. He was at the presser. They did a little, photo op at the table where Jose signed it and passed it over to Paul, and Paul says, love having you here, which is rare for him. But all these guys at some point want to do that. And I think a David Blitzer, like, hey, I'm here, I helped broker this deal and fund the Bieber extension, is going to happen. I truly believe it. I think Shane Bieber is going to be here long term.
You do?
I do. I think that's going to be the Blitzer sort of coming out part.
Welcome to the organization thing.
Yes.
Well,
I think that's the one.
That would be an interesting thing. He's a California guy. And I know, listen, that doesn't mean anything.
Is he getting married soon?
To the lovely Kara? She is special. She is. she is. I'm serious.
That's great.
Good for Biebs. Biebs, I would love for him to be here long term. I'm always leery, though, of giving a pitcher in his 30s, you know, I mean, things are different now, but like a 32-year-old guy, a 5-year contract, which someone will undoubtedly give him. But this franchise just knows how to handle pitchers, and they know when to hitch their wagons to certain guys and when to, jump ship with certain guys. You know, they maxed out with Clevinger, and I think what we had always thought they were going to deal him at the end of that season. I think the COVID situation with him and Plesac and the lying and his antics, and they just said, you know what, we're going to do this now rather than wait until the offseason. They usually know when to get rid of the guys at the right time. They're very good at that.
Shane Bieber is 27.
Okay. So in 3 years, he'll be 30. He's only 27.
But like, it's interesting. Right?
He's going to be 28 this season,
yes,
I believe.
But it's interesting because at the start of last year when he was topping out at 91.
Right. We were like, nope.
We can't give this guy all this money, and his arm is not what it used to be. He's a free agent in 2025, so two more years.
Is it after 2025 or in 2025?
No, in 2025.
So you got two more years of club control.
So I was wrong. It's not three, it's two.
Yeah.
So I think that they need to do something pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And I think that could, like I said, I think that I would not have an issue with it, and I think that he has earned it. We always argue about the velocity, but dude had a pretty good year this year again, and he's your ace.
It's pretty amazing because
he knows how to pitch.
He does. And I think this year, because the velocity was down, the rest of his arsenal really showed out. We were worried about him, and then in the end, you know, he was like a Cy Young type pitcher again, and he was awesome, and he was great in October, which, you know, that was the big thing for him when he came back after that debacle 2 years ago in the COVID season when the Yankees just lit him up. He was out there in game one against Tampa to prove that he was ready to roll.
Yeah.
He was great, and he was great in the Yankees game one as well. And unfortunately, with the situation and how it played out, he didn't get to pitch again. But or the first game he pitched, should I say, in the Yankee series. But, I would love him to sign long term. I love having a veteran leader like that. And it seems like
he's
he kind of has taken the reins from Corey Kluber. And these guys all learn from the master. That's why bringing him back home, I'll bring it full circle. That'll bring him back home, Kluber, for one last ride, maybe at the back end of the rotation. I mean, especially considering the last pitch he threw was Oscar Gonzalez's walk-off homer.
He's not going to want to end his career there.
No way.
He could also go back to Tampa.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, that I think if you're the Rays, why wouldn't you want to do that? And I don't know. I think that you're right. This organization doesn't usually do that. They know but what kind of a message would that send next year if it's the last year of his deal? They don't get a deal done and they deal it and they trade him, you know. I guess they could play look how good we did with Lindor type of situation.
Well,
but
I understand that, but I also think that a lot of it has to do with how this season's going to play out. Because if all of a sudden all these guys shit the bed and we end up, 75-90 or whatever,
right.
Then you start to think in the offseason, well, maybe extending Bieber is not the smartest idea. But still, I go back to the organizational depth in AA and this year coming into AAA with these big arms I think the plan was always to ride it out with Bieber and then the next wave comes in and with Gavin Williams and Bybee.
You don't know if those guys, know what you have.
But of course, but my point is I think that's where their thought process was going into this season. Because we all know that no one thought we were going to do this, and there's no way they thought they were going to do this.
No.
Now I think that they're real contenders, and they love the way things are going, so they're going to add to it. But if they shit the bed, things can change on a dime like that, and they may go into next season going, well, Shane Bieber's a free agent at the end of this season, and maybe now is the time. You know, we know we're not going to get him long term, and, that'll be the time. But again, time will tell, and it also the development of those of Espino and Gavin Williams and the others is going to be a big factor in whether or not they decide to extend him. Because you just never know. I mean, next year Xavion Curry could take a huge leap and just be great. I you know, who knows? Maybe Bybee is as good as they all say he's going to be, and Espino stays healthy, and Williams and these three are dominating, and then you're ready to go, and you go from there.
You bring up a good point. It's that maybe the organization feels like they can let Bieber walk or trade him. They're finally winning the fans back, Todd.
I know.
They had such a magical ride this year. They got the fans back. We weren't in September and October talking about the stupid name change. People were into it. You were at the stadium. There were
it was electric.
They were packing the place. Yep. What you want to do is still keep your very good to great players. And not be, well, they did it again. You know, we got up this hill, and now we're falling back down. They traded Lindor, now they trade Bieber. I mean, they got some positive momentum. I'm not saying sit here and go, yep, extend Bieber, extend McKenzie, extend Cal.
McKenzie's the guy you want to extend, by the way. Buy out some of those arbitration years.
Yeah, but I'm saying that's not realistic to keep them all.
Right.
But to me, Bieber is just, he just knows how to pitch. And he's 27. He's not 32.
Right.
So, all right, we're 35 minutes deep. We have a very important workout.
Yes, we do. Big workout.
So let's do that.
Our driver is going to show me what kind of shape that he's in. He's been kicking it into high gear lately.
I've dropped a few pounds.
You should see how beautiful his wife looks.
Oh, thank you.
My sister-in-law is looking fantastic.
She looks good.
She's peaking. You're getting there, but she's peaking.
Oh, my God.
That and also, we got to give special birthday shout-outs to current reigning, or 2 years ago, I shouldn't say current reigning, former Derry Berg League champion and P1 listener, Liza Goldberg.
Yes, Liza Fest was a great time. And then she was here last night for Friday night festivities, and she's a listener. She loves it. She really was pushing for the executive producer, her dad, Jeremy, whose birthday is coming up this week, to be on the show when you had to miss when you were over in Parts Unknown. And she was really lamenting about that last night. So, yes, happy birthday, Liza. Happy birthday, Jeremy.
And happy birthday to the one and only Vera Jefferson. That's right. She's the greatest.
So
turning 85 years old.
How about that?
The most special lady in America.
It's incredible. But this has been the Derry Brothers Guardians cast, a little Thanksgiving edition. If anything breaks, if anything goes down in the next few weeks, we'll be back. We should do something. We should do will Brian Shaw be back next year?
Hey, now. I'm sure the listeners are pining for that one. So
we'll do that. But thanks to BreakingT.com. Go to BreakingT.com/Derry. Get every shirt you want, including apparently Eli Morgan. You got to do it. And the Center for Advanced Dentistry, CFAD.net. If you want to get your teeth cleaned, if you're looking for a new dentist, check out with Dr. Ben and
Dr. Sean Schlissel, baby. Oh, can I say one thing?
Yeah.
Dr. Sean just reconstructed Cousin Mitch's front teeth.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Did you see how good Mitch's teeth looked?
I didn't look, but I didn't really pay attention. I mean, I will look today. Yeah.
You know, the some of our inside P1 listeners know what a handsome man Mitch is to begin with, as some of his exploits are legendary. But now with Mitch's teeth, he's like, look out, single ladies of Cleveland, because Mitch is on the prowl with his new teeth, thanks to CFAD.net, the Center for Advanced Dentistry.
All right, we'll be back soon. Thanks for checking us out right here on the Evergreen Podcast Network. Our friends at WaitingForNextYear.com. We are out of room and out of here.
Hit Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on!